time the Lord just sneaks up and says, do this tonight. Oh, all right, sir.
Whatever you say.
I had an interesting experience this week where I was just kind of hanging out. Really, I don't even think I was being spiritual. I'm just hanging out. Deb and I had a chance to get away for a few days this week, so it was nice to, you know, be in a semi-wilderness place where, you know, it was just quiet and had a lake and everything. If you're on Facebook, just check out all of our pictures and we'll kind of get the idea of where we were. It was really, really nice. So, I mean, I was just hanging out, you know, just like, not really thinking about a whole lot. But I find it many times, maybe you can agree with this, it's in those just seemingly vacant moments, you know, where the Lord just drops something heavy. And in my case, what happened was, I had this sudden, the only way I can describe it is a certainty, a knowing that something that I've been desiring and praying and believing and declaring was going to happen a lot faster than I expected.
Amen.
And I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, it's so hard to put into words. Anyone else ever have that kind of an experience where you just all of a sudden it's like, boom, and you just feel like there's no question that this is what's going to happen?
A drive-by whacking,
exactly. I was not expecting or intending to be whacked, but I was really touched by God concerning this thing, and it was like, oh, and it happened twice. Well, you know, I was like, oh, you know, the first time it happened, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And then it was a couple days later that it hit me again. So I'm like, all right, that's confirmation. But it got me thinking. I don't know why it got me thinking about this, but it did. You know how in Romans 12, Paul lists all these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, I even have it right here in case you like me, don't remember them all. You have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning or distinguishing of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So he lists all these gifts, right? And all of these gifts are designed for us to bless other people, right? These manifestations, and they're really more manifestations than gifts, right? The only one that has the word gift attached to it is healing, and that one is plural, right? So these are more manifestations. In other words, these are the way Holy Spirit works in you and me, right? All these different ways. But you know which one I never really understood is how does this one work when it comes to blessing other people? And that's faith. Right? I mean, I understand how I have faith for myself. I have faith in terms of what God has spoken to me and the promises that I've received and how I believe them and stand on them and all of that, right? We understand, I think, what that's all about. So I'm like, Lord, how is it that this particular manifestation of the Spirit, how does that work when it comes to blessing other people? What am I releasing of you that's going to help somebody else? I mean, healing is obvious, right? I'm releasing his power. There's a miracle. I'm releasing power for a miracle. You know, if it's a prophetic word, I'm releasing a prophetic word. How in the world do I release this manifestation of faith? Does anybody have the answer? Because inquiring minds want to know.
You're the one that got whacked.
I'm the one that got whacked. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing that made me think about this. Again, I don't even know for sure if there's a connection here, but I'm thinking that there must be, because he brought me to this questioning thing of like, well, what is this manifestation of the Spirit of faith that we can use or release to bless other people. And the only thing I can think of, and again, I was like, should I talk about this? Talk about this. Okay, because I got no clue. I'm kind of like, weaving my way through this tonight. And if you haven't figured that out about me, then let me make it abundantly clear. I am not one of these guys who has all of my I's dotted and T's crossed before I'm going to share stuff with you. That's just not how I operate. There's this idea that, if you're going to teach something, you really should be fully living it. And I agree, that's probably a good idea. All right? And I try to do that. But what do you do when God tells you to share something that you haven't fully lived out yet, but He wants for His kids to explore it together? That's what He showed me. Is that I can share stuff with you that I don't have, I don't get it fully yet. I'm starting to understand this thing, but let's talk about it. Let's share. Let's explore this thing that God is highlighting, and then we all can talk about what we're learning. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay, because, yes, there's a gift for teaching, and we need that, and I'll never back down from that because it's in the Bible, and we're going to have that. But what I'm so excited about is for us to learn and explore what it means to manifest the mind of Christ. Because when Paul described it, he didn't describe it singularly. He described it in the corporate vein. We have the mind of Christ. That means I may have a piece of, Jesus gave me a piece of his mind. But as I do, I have a piece of it. You got a piece. We all got a piece. But it's like prophecy. This is why I love prophetic team ministry. Don't you agree? Isn't it more fun when you're prophesying as part of a team? You say something, it triggers something in me, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's what God was showing me too, and blah, 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 you go on from there and expand on it. See, that's the kind of thing that we can experience together, and I'm excited about it. So this manifestation of faith, here's what I understand right now. There are times when the Lord wants to just kind of sovereignly release to His kids that settled supernatural knowing about something, which is what I experienced. Nothing changed. Do you understand me? Nothing changed. And I really honestly probably shouldn't be sharing this because it hasn't happened yet, but I'm just being obedient. That I experienced something supernatural that overcame me, that gave me such a settled assurance that what God said He was going to do is going to happen way quicker than I'm even expecting. And it was so real. It was so real. And so I feel like the Lord is saying tonight, if you need that, receive it. I don't know what it is that you've been contending for. I mean, we just, did that declaration a few minutes ago based on, Leon's connection with this, major music artist. And it's along the same lines, but whatever that is for you tonight, what is that thing that you have looked at and said, yeah, I want that, Lord, that's something that I've been asking you for and praying for and believing and there's still that kind of uncertainty in the back of your mind about it. Is that really, 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 really? And so if that's your experience, I feel like the Lord just wants me to say, receive tonight of the Holy Spirit, that gift, that manifestation of faith, where you say, Lord, I want you to just overwhelm me with such an assurance and knowing
that I'll never ever doubt. That's the thing. It's like, oh my gosh, doubt is gone. Because one of the things I'm learning is that there's a progression in my walk with Him in this area of faith where we can absolutely cross over from faith into knowing. That you come to a place of knowing something because it's so real, because He's so real, that I no longer need faith. You know, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, right? Did I get that wrong? Faith? How's it going? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's the general way that we operate. Right? God promises us this. Okay, Lord, I believe it's mine, and I stand in faith for that. But I don't have a knowing most times until the thing actually manifests, right? Until it actually comes to pass. I believe it's mine. I believe it has to come to pass, right? That's what faith is all about. My faith in what God says proves that this thing is real and it's mine. I don't have it yet. I have the title deed. Like, you know, that's a classic example. I bought a car and it's not here. It's somewhere else. But I have the title. And so that's the proof that car is mine. Because I got the title. I don't have it yet. I can't drive it yet. But it's mine. That's what faith is. But there's this thing, I believe, that we move from that to supernaturally knowing. And it's just an amazing thing. That's what I feel like God allowed me to experience this week, is that expression of Holy Spirit that forever settled in my heart, that what He showed me a number of years ago is not only going to happen, it's going to happen quicker than I expected. And I'm excited about that. I'm so excited about that. So I release that to you tonight. I release that experience of Holy Spirit for you, that you can ask Him to receive that. Even now, I mean, again, I don't know how this works. You understand me? This is all new for me. Anybody that has revelation on what I'm talking about, you need to come up and share it right now. If you come on, brother. Again, I don't have all the answers. All I know is that the Lord wants to do something with this tonight, and I want to be obedient to what He wants to do.
I can give you concrete when you think of that.
The Sermonator. Just so long as you don't do that now.
I can give you a concrete example of a person who has now crossed over into that.
Okay.
And that's Charlie Patisi. We had our men's retreat this weekend.
Yeah.
And when we had the leadership team meeting 2 weeks ago, he said, wouldn't it be awesome, because there were so many guys coming this year, 60 guys coming this year, and a lot of them really weren't really into the Lord deeply.
Right.
And he said, wouldn't it be awesome on Sunday morning, instead of having the service, that we go down to the Delaware River and we have a baptism?
Oh, gosh.
We're like, that would be awesome. You know, that would be just so cool. Well, so cool. We're there on Saturday night in Pennsylvania. The temperature's dipping below 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there like, Charlie, you know, we got to cancel this. There's just no way we can do this.
Well, it could be the polar bear baptism.
Right, yeah. Instead of baptism by fire, baptism by ice. And he just looked at me like I had five heads. He goes, what are you talking about? What are you, you know how he gets me. What are you talking about? Because the Lord said we're going to have the baptism.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to have the baptism.
Yeah.
And then Steve and all these other guys are like, dude, we're not going to have the baptism.
They were unbelievers.
They're not going to have that. And he's like, I don't understand you guys. I just don't understand it. He goes, God's going to provide. Tomorrow morning is going to be perfect. And he was so animate about it.
Yeah, there you go.
And we woke up in the morning, and we went down for devotions, and we were freezing our tails off. The fog was on the Delaware River so thick you couldn't see across the other side. And we all said to him, we are not touching our toes in that water today.
You guys!
You rebels!
You guys! He just was like confounded that we're doubting. And what we're feeling in the natural.
Yeah.
Right? We went in to have our breakfast that they do. When we came out from our breakfast, it was 72 degrees, bright sunshine. The Delaware River was perfectly still. Not only did the one or two people that we thought would want to be baptized, I did, Charlie did, the lifeguard that they had with us, I looked at him, I said, you're next. And he came over and got baptized. About 15 guys just took their clothes off. Said, well, what's the reason?
This is a children's program.
Kind of party. It wasn't that kind of party. It was a Holy Ghost party. And it was just so awesome. You just, Tommy in the wheelchair, we carried him in to be baptized. Got the one gentleman was in a three-piece suit. And at the very end, we knew he needed the break. It was just like something out of a movie. He just like shoved people out of the way and came walking down and we baptized him.
In his suit?
In his three-piece suit.
Wow.
It was just, but that look on Charlie's face like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
You know, that has the person who's stepped over.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Awesome. That's a great story. Thank you, Bill. Amen. Anybody else? Something that the Lord's just ministering to your heart right now as we're talking about this. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that this is something that we have access to. And I really do pray that this week you will have that kind of encounter with Him about the thing that you've been, you know, really contending for or believing for, desiring so much in your life. Joe, you want to share something? Everybody say hi to the bartender.
I was going to say that.
No, that experience that you had, you know, that is something that as the body of Christ, we need to understand, you know. We have this mindset that I got to be praying, fasting, reading my Bible, or being spiritual in order for God to touch me. And He's right here, you know. He lives in you. You're one with Him, you know. And I always say this, you know, when you want to know about God's thoughts regarding something, look at where it first happened, you know. So, okay, what was God's intent for you as a human being? Let's look at the beginning. God created man and woman, right? He pulled her out of Him. And then what? He put them in a garden east of Eden. And because Eden is the garden of God. I think it's in Ezekiel or something. Eden is the garden of God. So He puts them in a garden east of Eden. He doesn't give them a Bible. He does not give them a hymnal. He does not give them rules, 10 commandments. He doesn't do that. He doesn't give them an altar. He doesn't give them musical instruments for worship. He doesn't do any of that. What does God do? God gives Himself to Adam, okay, which means human being. He gives Himself to Adam just to hang together, to be together. So when are you your most spiritual? You know, I mean, the scripture talks about, right? In Romans, it says that, that chapter, it says that we are the sons of God, right? But it also mentions about being in the spirit. You know, now Paul then says in a few verses down that we are in the spirit already. The fact that you are the dwelling place of God in the spirit makes you spiritual. You're not spiritual because you do spiritual stuff.
Exactly.
You get it? You're spiritual because of who you are, because you are no longer a human being. Now you are kainos. You are a new creation. You are a new type of species that has never existed on the earth before the resurrection of Christ. All right? Elijah, Daniel, and all those anointed cool guys, they were never new creations. They were never kainos. Okay, but then Christ, you know, the blueprint of the new creation, you know, he is who we really are like, you know. So you are spiritual by default, not by feeling, not by performance. So many times, you know, you can be trying to be spiritual, you know, you could be trying to get wet, right? And you're reading your Bible and you're doing your prayers, you know, and you got all the stuff going on and you're like, man, you know, Lord, you know, there's nothing going on, you know, and then you're like, oh, I'm kind of down, you know. You know those days, everybody has those days, right? When we think that we are not close to God. Nonsense. You know, anyway, it's like telling a pregnant woman, oh, you're not close to your baby, you know, it's nonsense. You know, the baby is in you, it's part of who you are, you know. We are in him and he is in us. So, you know, there are those days that that happens, you know, but then you could be doing something that's considered secular. You know, it's a Gnostic belief that the secular is separate from the spiritual. Christ baptized into him the whole created order. Everything you do is spiritual because it's who you are. You're spiritual. You could be baking. You could be frying eggs. You could be, you know, shooting your gun. You could be shooting your gun. You can be, you know, doing. You could be playing soccer. You could be watching, you know, TV. You could do it, anything. Anything you do is spiritual because you are spiritual. So he's enjoying the beautiful place, you know. Man, he's enjoying the cat, he's enjoying the woods, enjoying the environment. And God's like, oh, that's it. Yeah. You know, that's my intent for Adam was just hang out with the animals, name a few animals, hang out with Eve. You know, God never said, be careful with the serpent. That's not in the Bible. You don't read that in Genesis with God saying to Adam, be careful with the snake. No, it was a non-issue, man. It wasn't an issue. How much less of an issue now that you no longer live, that Christ lives in you, and now the life that you live in your body, you live it by the faith of the Son of God. So he's talking about faith. Man, that secure knowledge and awareness, you know, that mind of Christ, that intellect of Christ, that's something given by the Spirit, you know, to his children. You know, that's just like, you know, that's just knowing. You know, he experienced a secure, you know, knowing that faith is no longer necessary. You know, it's like, I don't have to have faith that I am married. I don't. When I wasn't married, I had to have faith the Lord will give me a spouse. The Lord will give me a wife. Thank you for my future wife. Faith. Hope. The moment I got married, I don't have to have faith for that anymore. I just have to live in the experience in the moment.
That's good.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, right? We all share what the Lord's showing us about these things, and we strengthen each other through that. I just love that so much.